Welcome again to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and I'm glad you're here today to carry on this study of man, the measure of all things. Interesting study. We started last lesson, and we talked about man, the past state, his beginning, and that the Lord had created man and did create man according to the Scriptures, and that there wasn't anything bad to say about man or mankind. When we're talking about man, we're talking about man corporately, or mankind, as we study this study, okay? And if there's any difference in it, I'll mention that. But we talked about the original state of man. Do you remember? And we went over some things concerning his past state and the beginning of man. For instance, that he was created for the pleasure and glory of God, or for God's pleasure and his glory, and to give God glory. God didn't make man just by just to sit over in the corner and look at every now and then. He made him to be somebody and to be a being. He turned him into a being. And God breathed the breath of life into him, into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. He became a literal being and came to be. You've heard all that. And we are alive and we are beings because of the Lord and because of his Spirit. And we also talked about that man was created in God's own image. There's nothing else on this planet that was created in God's image. Man was. Man was created in God's image. Mankind. And we talked about that Adam was the original man that was created out of the dust of the ground. You wasn't created out. I mean, we back at mankind all the way up. Yeah, we are dust. And if you... I think I heard one time that... And I could be wrong, you know, you science people out there that are pretty smart about all that stuff. If I say something wrong, then don't be too hard on me, because I'm not a science major. I'm not a science minor. But I heard a man say one time that there are 92 or 96 elements in the world. And guess how many elements man's made of? The same amount. Whichever one it is, 92 or 96, he's made of them elements. Man, if you study man, man reveals, the evidence of man reveals that he comes from the dust, just like God said. Just like God said. Isn't that neat? I love it when things appear like that, that show truth to validate our faith. You know, we believe because God said so. But I love it when the Lord puts some icing on the cake out there and lets everybody see, you know, these my sons and my daughters are right. The body of Christ is right. They're believing the truth and you're not. And I like it when the Lord does that. So does he. He says he don't hide no corner around or around the bushes or anything. He said, I'll meet you face to face. Face to face. God's not ashamed of who he is, and he's not ashamed of who we are, and he's not ashamed of being our God. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad of that. I know you are too. Man was formed of the dust of the ground, the Bible says. And not only that, but man was made up right. He was made up right. He wasn't made a sinner. He was made up right. He was made in the image of God. And he had... He was like God. He was like God. There was no sin in man in the beginning. No sin at all. He was decent and upright and moral and righteous and honorable. And he did things right and ethical. He was good and just and moral, nice and right-minded. He thought the right thoughts. And he done things straight and true and virtuous. He was upright. Man was endowed with intelligence. God didn't make him stupid. He became stupid you gotta let 6,000 years go by and see how stupid you can be. Man, they say man's getting better. The way man thinks nowadays is not evidence of him getting smarter than when God made him. Man made God with intelligence. He didn't start out from no stinking goo pool or come out of come from no stinking monkey or anything like that. Monkeys don't pray. You see, they don't know all that stuff. But anyway, I get into all that. But man was endowed with intelligence. God gave man intelligence. He made him smart. And I'm not going to say that man knew everything that God knew. I don't think that's possible. But I think that God, when he made man, that, I mean, Adam was smart enough to name every animal on this planet. And he called them things that we can pronounce and that we can say and that we can understand. Now, man's trying to go ahead. Isn't that funny? Man's trying to go ahead and name them himself. And they come up with some of the craziest, non-pronounceable, stupid names. Like the Strata, Fera, Moki, whatever it is. I can't even think of one. But every time I read one of them stinking names, I'm thinking, man, you go to school and have to memorize that stuff and put it down on a piece of paper to get somebody to say you're smart? What about just cat? Dog? Rhinoceros? Platypus? What about all that stuff? I mean, God gave man intelligence, but he gave him the right kind of intelligence. He gave him the intelligence that went along with holiness and wholesomeness and honesty and sincerity, the important things in life. Man was wonderfully made. David said that, and that was years after the Lord created Adam. David even looked at himself one day and said, and he praised the Lord just because he seen what God had made and it being in the fallen state and still had to praise him. He's fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says. Man was given wide dominion. God told him, spread out and make babies. Make more of y'all. Do it. So, man done just the opposite. He gathered everybody together and made a one world government and started building a tower and a city, just like he does today. You know, one of the most important things to countries today, and you listen to this, one of the that shows that that country is somebody, I'm telling you the truth now. I got a documentary on it, and I was just I don't think that documentary knows what it's saying spiritually, but it gives a good spiritual truth out of it. But it's about buildings and countries that build buildings, and who's got the highest building, and who built a building higher than this one, and higher than this one, and high. The big thing in a country to show that that country's prosperous, and it's this, and it's that, and it's somebody, is who's got the highest building. Yeah, check it out. And isn't that interesting that way back when God told men, here, I'm giving you the whole earth, spread out, go make a whole bunch of children, enjoy your life, and have a good time, and I'll be your God, and you can be my people. And what'd they do? They traveled just a little bit. Instead of spreading out, they all stayed together, and they built a city, and they built a tower to reach up into heaven. To try to get to God, called Babel. What's Babel mean? A gate to God. Yeah, see? And man ain't changed one bit. He think he's getting so smart, and he built these stupid towers and spent all this money on these towers to get way up in the air just to say he's somebody. And every country in the world that can afford it tries to build one bigger and show off. I don't think that's getting smarter. Every man that is, but we're talking about back when the Lord created man and in his beginning. Every man that is was derived from one blood. One blood, that's what the Bible says. Man was made superior to animals. Very important for you to remember that. This new generation and this new age and all this blabbity blab that's going on today that everybody's going to continue, and it's going to get, they're going to get even more dumber, saying that the animals got more rights than people and they're more important than people. They're not more important than people. People are more important than animals to God. God said so. Jesus said so. And if you're in your right mind, you think that way. Somebody sitting there chewing on a pork chop hollering about animals' rights. Yeah. Well, today we're going to go, you know, when God made man, he made him a living being. We talked about it a while ago. Man is a living being. He has a soul. That is him. It's his being. His soul is what makes him to be. You are your soul. Your body is wrapped around you, and your spirit is what keeps your flesh alive that God gave you. And when you die, your spirit's going back to the Lord who gave it. Your soul, you are going somewhere, either to be with the Lord or going to hell. I hope all y'all are going to heaven. You wouldn't be studying and listening to this, I don't think. Unsaved people don't like listening to things about God. And your flesh is going back to the dirt unless the Lord comes and raptures us out of here and catches us out of here and changes these things, these vile bodies, and fashions them like unto his glorious body. That's what the Bible says. And we become immortal rather than mortal. Isn't that good? Celestial instead of terrestrial. And I like it. I like it. God's promises. Well, let's get into today's study. Let's talk about a different state of man. Let's talk about his present state. Right now, right here, right now. Man, the present state. Now, the title of this study is Man, the Measure of All Things. The Measure of All Things. You say, well, there ain't been a man that's ever really stood up and said, what? You better believe there's all kinds of men that stand up and would say something like that. Man is the measure of all things. Yeah. I think some of your presidents even said that, if you look back. Not in them exact words, but said it. Man, the present state. Well, what about the present state? Well, man has two different states that he's in this dispensation. In this present state, right here, 2022, we are in the Laodicean era. And this is the last state that man's going to be in before the tribulation period and before the Antichrist shows up. Now, I'm talking about the body of Christ. But man's state, mankind, corporately, is in one of two different states in this dispensation. And one of them is a sinful state. One of man's states in this present state, in this present dispensation that we're living in this age that we're living in right now, is a sinful state. The present state of man is a sinful state. We all know what happened to Adam. He was created perfectly. Everything was perfect. Mankind was perfect. Man was not a sinner. He didn't know what sin was. He didn't know what the difference in good and evil was. He just loved God. And he was perfect because God made him that way. And he gave glory to God. He was made for God's pleasure. He made the Lord happy and gave the Lord pleasure. That's a tremendous state to be in, isn't it? You know, when I stand before the Lord, that's what I want the Lord to get from me, is pleasure. I want the Lord to be happy that he spoke with me, that he read my thoughts and they were pleasing to him, that he read my heart and my sincerity and my the things about me, what my thinking and everything else, and that he is pleased with it. We want to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. But the problem is that Adam fell. And when Adam fell, and they disobeyed the Lord had already told them what was going to happen, that they were going to die. They weren't going to die immediately. They were going to begin dying. Mankind was going to die. When they started dying, they lived in the 900-year age, 900 years or something like that, and it began to fall shorter and shorter to 700, down to 600, down to 500 and 400, and now I think the last one that the Lord made was 70. But there was one that the Lord made, which was 120. And with all this technology and all this life-saving things that they come up with, and I'm not against sincere medical treatment and sincere help that people really try to help, because some of that stuff does help. It's helped me, it's helped others, and it's kept a lot of suffering, from sin and what it does to mankind nowadays. But the medical field is not God, and any man that's in the medical field will tell you that. He says these bodies that we work on were not meant to die. And any surgeon or anybody that knows the human body and is in the medical field will tell you that. These bodies were not designed to die. They know something. But they do die. What makes them die? The wages of sin is death. Is death. Sin bringeth forth death. Now, one of the states of man in this present state is a result of Adam's disobedience. God did not ever intend, nor did he have part in making man sinful as his present state is. A lot of people try to blame this matter on God. It's not God's fault. One of the things about the Lord is that he's very free with his creatures. He doesn't treat his creatures like robots or things that he points at and says, turn left, turn right, and this. That. He makes his creatures like him. He makes them free. They have a free will. They can do what they want to. Birds fly where they want to. They turn right. They turn left. They make decisions. Animals make decisions. They pick their dens out by themselves. They don't have orders from God to go 50 miles to the left, turn left, go 14 paces and turn right, and there's your den. It's not like that. Even animals have a free will. God makes his creatures to be able to do that. So it's not God's fault about this sin matter. Quit blaming it on him. Now, the Lord's done everything possible to take care of it. And no man has any excuse. You say, well, it's not my fault. I'm a sinner. It came down through the seed, and I was born this way. Well, have you ever sinned voluntarily? You say, yeah, but that wasn't my fault. If Adam hadn't sinned, then I wouldn't have been capable of sinning. Well, if that's the matter and the way you think, then God's done everything possible to make up for it so that he can get you back to the state that you originally was. Why are you delaying that? Why won't you? Why people ought to be running to Jesus if that's the way they feel about it, right? God did not ever intend, nor did he have part in making man sinful as he is in his present state. By sinful, what we mean is he disobeyed a holy God and fell. He fell. He's not like God anymore. He's not like God in spirit of mind or spirit of heart. He's not like God anymore. He's in a fallen state. The present state of man, before he is born again, if he is born again, is that he's in a fallen state and he's not like God anymore. He still appears physically and the physical image of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ was the image of God and he looked like us. Man now knows what evil is. That's his problem. And has become evil by nature. You say, well, why do you keep using that word evil? Because Jesus Christ used it. Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Jesus called you evil. You don't do evil things. You are evil. You got to get this. It's not that you sin, it's that you are a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. You're not a sinner because you sin. You see? He knows what evil is. Man knows what evil is. And he's become evil by nature, by partaking of that fruit from the tree that contained the knowledge of the good and evil. God put it in that fruit, put it on the tree, said, leave the tree alone and let's get on with life. And out of everything that Lucifer could have done, the serpent, out of everything that he could have picked, he picked that tree, didn't he? Now, apparently, God was protecting man from his commandment, from whatever it was, in the tree that poisoned man with sin. I don't know why evil, good and evil, and the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord had it present right there, but it was present. It was there. And God put it on that tree in that fruit and said, leave it alone. This is something that you do not want to know, and I don't want you to know. That's fatherly and godlike protection right there, isn't it? I don't want you to have what's going to happen to you when you eat of this fruit, that you're going to gain knowledge like the devil tempted her. You're going to become like God. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. Well, Eve didn't know what evil was. She did after she ate. Her eyes were open. And she knew the difference in good and evil then. And it poisoned her. It poisoned man with sin. What does the Bible say? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, let me read it to you. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, that was not God dispensing a punishment on Adam. Adam was perfect. Adam didn't do anything to make God mad. God told him, this is just what could happen if you eat of that tree. You're going to die. Adam didn't know what dying was. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now there's part of that that he didn't say, that she added to it. He didn't tell her not to touch it. Somebody else told her not to touch it, if that's where she got it from, but she thought that what God said was important enough for her not to even touch it. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. She didn't know what evil was. Probably didn't even know what good was. There was no difference in good and evil. She didn't know the difference because there was no evil. She was like God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. It's a result of Adam's disobedience. Man's present state is a sinful state. There's nothing you can do about it. You're born evil. Little infants are born evil. They are from the seed of Adam, and they are born evil. They're not held accountable until the Lord decides that they've made a decision consciously to sin against him. And we know that little bitty infants don't make decisions like that. They're like the animals. They don't know why they're doing good or bad. They don't even know they're doing bad. Animals don't know the difference in good and bad. They know commands, and they know good and bad, but they don't distinguish between them. Not only is it a result of Adam's disobedience, man's not cursed because he's sinful. He is sinful because he's cursed. Dogs are not dogs because they bark. Dogs bark because they're dogs. Cats are not cats because they meow. Cats meow because they're cats. It's a result of Adam's disobedience, and that's not all. What else? What else is a result of the sinful state of man? Well, it makes all men sinners and under the curse. You see, we're talking about Adam's seed. Adam was the only human being corporately that was living during that time. He was the only one, him and his wife. And he's the only one that had a human seed. And when they fell, that seed became corrupted. And when he passed it on through his wife, Cain and Abel and so on and so forth, he passed on the curse. He passed on sin and death. It makes all men sinners and under the curse. And it's not that hard to understand. It's hard for some people to believe because they don't want to be sinners and they don't want to confess that they're sinners, even though they know that they can't go 15 minutes without thinking something wicked. They're just not going to admit it until they stand before the throne and bow that knee and say Jesus is Lord and God is right, which is going to be too late. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, which God has very graciously given us in writing, that we can look into this book and find out what happened, why it happened, what's the status of it, when's it going to end, and what we can do to get back to the Lord and all this problem within ourselves be over with. And then when will we be... When will the Lord rid us of all the things that we carry around, like our flesh and our thinking and everything else, and clean us all up perfectly like we was before? The Bible tells you all of that. That's why man, as a sinner and under the curse and corrupted from Adam's seed, doesn't want to read that Bible, don't want nothing to do with it. That's why we're studying it right now, because we want to know the truth. We want to know these things. There's a difference. And it's in this present state. One state of a man is one part of the this present state that we're in is that is the sinful state of man. It's a result of Adam's disobedience, and it makes all men sinners under the curse. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, one, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." The Lord said, "Sin bringeth forth death." And it does, doesn't it? "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." When you were born, you were going to sin. Why? Because you're a sinner. You were born a sinner. When a child gets old enough to start moving around and everything else, you don't have to teach that child how to do bad. You have to teach that child how to do good. You don't have to teach that child how to steal. You got to teach him how not to steal. You don't have to teach him how to disobey. You got to teach him how to not disobey. You see? It's there. And in for the lie to you. You go put him in that crib when he don't want to be in that crib and walk out and turn that light off. He'll scream bloody murder. And then you go turn the light on, go in there and check his hind end, check him, make sure he's clean, all powdered up, smelling good, and give him a hug and all that, and lay him back down in that crib and watch what happens. He's lying to you. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Or her. What else? Well, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 10 and verse 13, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You ever broke one of God's commandments? Then you are cursed. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." No man can say to God that he's done that he has been perfect according to his law. It's evident. No man can say that. And if they do say that, they're lying. "For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them." If you're going to live by the law, you're responsible to do the law and to live under the law and not break it. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Christ hung on a tree." What else? We're talking about it makes all men sinners and under the curse. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Simon Peter admitted he was a sinner. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through 20 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Filth comes out of it. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace..." Everybody hollering, "Peace, peace." And here's what the Bible says. "And the way of peace have they not known." No man knows how to be peaceful. He's a sinner. "There is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." That's why God brought the law in. You say, well, if God knew we were sinners, why'd he make the law? Because everybody was going to fail. He had to make the law. He had to make us guilty of it and responsible for it. So he brought the law in. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then when you break that law, you become guilty before God, and now you need a Savior. And guess what? Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is so smart. What else? Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all, from Adam all the way to you, to the freshest infant that was just born today, minutes ago, all the way to him, sinners. Romans 7:13 says, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You see, that law shows who we are. Shows us who we are and shows God who we are. God knew who we are, or knew what we are. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The law is telling the truth. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I don't want to sin, but I can't help it because I'm a sinner. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You see why that flesh is going back to the grave unless the Lord comes and changes it? For to will, I want to do good, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't keep myself from sinning. I mean, I can prolong it. The Lord said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It didn't say the lust of the flesh was going to disappear. The flesh is going to lust. But it said, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill it. For the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law working in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The present state of man is that he is a sinner, and all men are sinners, and all men are under the curse of the law because all men have broken that law. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3, the Bible says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. There's coming a day, and the Lord has promised, that there's not going to be any more curse. We're not going to have to worry about it anymore. Talking about the saved people, talking about people that are born again. But right now, mankind corporately in this present state that he is in is sinful. He is sinful, the sinful state of man. It's a result of Adam's disobedience, and it makes all men sinners and under the curse. Now, did you hear what God's Word said about newborns? Listen to this. Psalm chapter 58 and verse 3, it says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Psalm 58:3 says that as soon as a child comes out of the womb, they go astray. As soon as they be born, speaking lies. And he didn't say they knew they were speaking lies, because they're not old enough to know the difference in good and evil, but they speak lies. Why? Because they are sinful, sinners. God says that they are wicked. God must be a cruel ogre to speak of an innocent infant like that. I can just hear all the people today. Oh. I can just hear it right now. You know, God must be an ogre to speak of an innocent infant like that. Unless, of course, he is like his word says he is. He's a God of truth that cannot lie. The curse is upon the human being descended from Adam's seed before they leave the womb, the Bible says. And the way before the child, and way before the child has knowledge of what sin is, he is a sinner. Now that's what the Bible says. So a human before it is a being, is a sinner. If it comes from Adam's seed and descends from Adam's seed, it is a sinner. Before it's a being, it's a sinner and inherits death when it knows it has sinned against God's law. A lot of people say that that's probably right around 6, 7, 8 years old, something like that. The Bible says that there was a 7-year-old king that ruled in the Old Testament. Of course, he had advisors and this, that, and the other. But the Bible said that that 7-year-old did evil in the sight of the Lord. He knew he was doing evil. And he didn't care. And he didn't care what God thought. And then there's another infant that the Lord took from David and Bathsheba through sickness. And they asked David, how come you ain't sad about this baby dying? And he says, I was sad whenever I could pray and ask God to have mercy and let him live. He said, but what is there to be sad about now? He's dead. He said, I shall go to him, but he shall not come back to me. God took the baby on to heaven. David says, I'll be with him. I shall go to him, but he shall not come back to me. So we see that the Lord does not impose the law on the innocent, on the ignorant, on the ones that do not know the law. The law is what makes you guilty. That's why the Lord brought it in, so you could become guilty before God, so that he could give you mercy and save you through the blood of Jesus Christ and get you back to the state that you originally should have been. You getting this? Isn't it beautiful? But man's original state was perfect. Man's present state is a sinful state, one of two parts. It's a sinful state. It's a result of Adam's disobedience. It makes all men sinners and under a curse. And that's not all. It brings physical death to man. Death is in the world because of sin. sin is in the world because men are sinners, and they sin, and it brings forth death. The Bible says in Genesis, listen to this, chapter 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You disobey God, disobey His commandment, which they did, death fell upon all men. That's what the Bible said. Nothing confusing about that at all. Romans chapter 5 in the New Testament and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law." You can't be accused if you haven't broken something. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." They didn't have to eat of the fruit in order to sin. They were sinners, and they sinned different ways, but they were still included as sinners, who is the figure of him that was to come. Talking about Jesus. What else? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." You say, well, what is sin? It's the transgression of the law. Have you transgressed the law? Yes, you have. There was no way that you were not going to transgress the law. You came from Adam. Now, of course, if you came from a monkey, like some of them goofballs talk about, then I don't know. Maybe you can work your way out of being a sinner. I don't know. I don't know if monkeys sin or not. But if you're a human, you're a sinner. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, every bit of it, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all." Just one point. Have you ever offended God's law in one point? I have. And you have too. So you're guilty before God because the law makes you guilty. It makes all men sinners and under the curse. What makes them sinners? The sinful state. The sinful state of man. Now, we see that the state of man was changed from before. Remember what we talked about before? He was perfect. Man has a curse upon him. That he can't rid himself of now. He now has knowledge of good and evil, whereas before, he did not. Along with this knowledge came the know-how of sin. How to sin. Now man cannot avoid sinning. And because he cannot avoid sinning, he commits sin and instantly inherits death. Simple. Stick around a while. You're going to die. Why? Because you're a sinner. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, we said that. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And we read James chapter 2, verse 10, "For whosoever keepeth the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all." When Adam sinned, he was the only man that existed at that time He represented all of mankind corporately at that time. Remember, we was talking about that a minute ago. He also was the only one that had a seed to reproduce himself. And it also was now under the curse. His seed was. So all that come from Adam, from his seed, are cursed and will sin and will inherit death. What else? Well, what have we talked about so far? We're talking about man, the present state. Man was perfect. He was the measure of all things because he was just like God, respectfully. He was everything that God made perfect. And you know God makes perfect things. And then man's present state is a fallen one. It's a sinful state of man. It's a result of Adam's disobedience. It makes all men sinners and under the curse. It brings physical death to man. And also, it makes man spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Man is made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. When Adam fell, he died spiritually. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, listen to this: "And you hath he quickened." What's quickened mean? Quickened means like to make alive, brought to life, quickened. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I once was dead, and now I'm alive. I'm quickened." But we're not talking about being quickened right now. We're talking about the first part of man's present state, and that is a sinful state of man. And because of the sinful state of man, he is spiritually dead. He does not understand spiritual things. He cannot communicate with God. His spirit's dead. Amen. Well, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to come back on this next one, and we're going to talk about the second half of the present state of man, which is the redeemed state of man, the born-again state, which is the present state as we live right now. A man in this present state right now is not perfect like he was in the previous state of man in the beginning. He's not perfect. He is fallen. He is cursed. He's under a curse. He's sinful. He come from Adam. And because of that, he's going to die. And men do die. Every man that's died has died. But there's two different states that a man lives in now. He's a sinner. He's either living under the sinful state of man, which is the result of Adam's disobedience and applies to all men and all are under the curse, and they're going to die because of it. And that curse makes men spiritually dead. He's either in that state, or he has been redeemed and born again. And we'll talk about that on the next one, okay? All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll get back on to this next recording. I hope you'll join us, and I'm sure you will. Thank you for putting up with my speaking. I'm not used to speaking into a microphone. I'm used to looking people in the eyes when I speak, but I'm learning a little bit. And if you don't need a big fancy mouthed special worded preacher teacher on a radio or there are some good ones, but there are some that but anyway, if you don't need one of them, then you can get along and just go ahead and study God's word together, okay? All right, well, you have a wonderful evening, and I thank you so much for joining in, and we'll learn some more about this present state of the man, the measure of all things. He changed a little bit in this present state, didn't he? Yep. We're talking about what the Bible says. We've been talking about what God's Word says. We've been reading that Bible while we've been doing this. It's not what we think. This is what we know because God said so. Okay? Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good that we have a God that's not ashamed to be our God? Have a wonderful evening. I love you with Christ's love. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian growth. Bye-bye.